Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, welcome to episode 329 of the official podcast. We've got a meaty episode today. There's been a few things happening around the yard. A lot of interesting things happening, I would say. Potentially with aircraft and ex-presidents. yeah, not related. Different subjects. But I wanted to start this off just like a nice little icebreaker. How do you guys do with confrontation in general?
Like physical in the real world?
No, it doesn't need to be physical.
What is, I know this, how like you do with like Anonymous meeting now.
No. There's a reason for this. Don't worry. No, not like physical confrontation. Just like any kind of confrontation where you have to like argue with someone in the real world, though, because I know it's very easy online when there's a screen separating
just
you.
Get it out of the way.
As a kid, I used to hate it, and I would go completely out of my way to avoid it. But now I kind of realized as long as you just stay nice and friendly, you can kind of say whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, if you're respectful about it.
Yeah.
But it's not, I agree with that. I would say that I'm still not someone that like enjoys confrontation though, right? Like you don't.
I don't think anyone does.
Most people
don't. Hot take.
Unless you're.
There is absolutely people that get off on confrontation.
100%. Not in the real world. BPD. Just on Twitter.
No, absolutely
in the real world. In the real world.
I can't say I've met anyone that just loves confrontation.
I will not say who, but I've got a family member who literally loves fighting with managers and waiters.
Exactly.
And,
I was going to say, yeah, go to somewhere like retail or something.
Loves feeling vindicated in like winning every confrontation. Like if they have to deal with a manager or anything, loves feeling like they won.
That's super different from like the initial question. Like I thought it was about people we know, not like just general strangers. Like I'm not going to be arguing with the person that's arguing with the cashier at Walmart.
Well, even
Andrew said it's a family member.
Yeah.
But also there are just like
the initial question. The initial question was like me getting in an argument with someone who loves confrontation.
No, well, you're saying there were people who don't love confrontation.
They don't openly say, I love confrontation. If anything, they always think they're in the right and they're the peace seekers.
Yes.
And that get fucked with. If you've ever had a BPD girlfriend, for instance, you'll know this.
Yeah, this person always thought they were in the right. And and at any slighting towards them would want to do whatever they could to just be like, nope, I'm getting my way.
They wanted to, I've also got several people in my family who operate that way. Like at the slightest slight out comes the confrontation monster, and then they feel vindicated about exerting their power of people who really can't, like in retail, like if they get their order wrong or something like that, there'll be a whole kerfuffle. And then they're like, well, I was exerting my right as a customer or whatever. It was like, no, you're kind of just being a dick because you like the confrontation, right?
This person in particular on my end, we would go to restaurants, and if we had to wait for a waiter more than a reasonable amount of time, they would get very upset and want to speak to a manager and say, oh, this is how you run your business, huh? And they genuinely liked it because they felt they were proving a point and going, oh, look at how correct I am about how bad this service is.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, there are people, but the point is there are people like that. There are absolutely real-world people like that.
I think it's probably more common than you think. I was getting to the point that I had a bit of confrontation this weekend, heading into the new week. I had gone outside, and this hits close to home because it's a neighbor dispute, which is awkward because you have to live next to them, obviously.
Oh no.
So I went outside this weekend to do some lawn work, some gardening, maintaining the garden, the prestige of my home. And I was walking around the yard along the perimeter fence dividing my property from my neighbor's property. And all along the fence were cigarette butts, just like constant cigarette butts. I had to pick up about like 40 of them. Which is bad, obviously, because it's a fire hazard to some degree, and also my dog could eat them and get sick, which is very bad. And it was obviously the neighbor because there was ash along the top of the fence. So they've just been dumping. Yeah, I know. They've
just been dumping their cigarettes as an ashtray.
Yeah,
that's so basically fucked.
And I was like, well, fuck, now I need to go have a talk to them to be like, hey, please stop putting cigarette butts on my lawn. So I'm using my property as an ashtray. Just an awkward situation. And as a person that's not a fan of confrontation, I was like, shit, no, I don't want to do this, but I have to. Like, I think I'm pretty in the right in this situation. So it made the confrontation a little bit easier to swallow. So I put on my big boy pants and cruised over there, knocked on their door, and a nice little old woman comes out, and I've got a plastic bag full of half smoked.
Oh, you brought evidence,
cigarettes.
Jesus!
Yeah, of course I had to.
Did you bring out her surveillance photo too?
I would have if I had a camera set up. Why wouldn't you bring evidence?
You could still just have the conversation without it, but I think it's cute that you brought the evidence.
Well, I didn't want them to be like, it could have. I don't know. They could have used excuses or anything. I didn't want to show up with my pants down, basically. So I showed them the cigarettes, and she did use excuses. She's like, no one smokes in our house. And I'm like, but the cigarettes. The
was
ash
she holding a cigarette when you said that?
The ash. No, I'll tell you. No, Kaya, I know what you're going to say, and you're probably correct. So she started using excuses like, oh, there's kids in the neighborhood that like to jump over fences. One smashed my pot the other week. They're probably jumping over your fence and smoking in your yard. And I'm like, I don't think
the hottest smoking spot in town is Jackson's yard. Everyone, where all the teens hang out.
There's a line to get in.
Everyone comes to my yard to
smoke. As a bouncer.
It's the local haunt. So I was like, okay, well, I don't think that's the case, but I'll put up a camera to make sure, to keep both of our properties safe from these marauding gang of children smoking. So I said that, and I think that put the fear of God in her a little bit. And then what my theory is, because it seems to happen early in the morning, from what my partner has said, what my girlfriend has said, because she can see the smoke coming out of the yard at like 4 a.m. So what I think it is there might be a sneaky older husband that's lying about his smoking habits to his wife, and then dumping the evidence into my yard. So I think they've had a this happened very recently. This happened 2 days ago. So since then, I haven't noticed any cigarettes in my yard. So I do feel vindicated a little bit, but now I also feel bad because I feel like I've put marital strain.
Yeah, you just caused their
two
divorce.
Elderly people. Yeah, I'm gonna notice a for sale sign up. I noticed they hadn't taken their bins in, which is very unlike them from the curbside. So I think there's trouble in paradise at the moment.
You should have been smarter about hiding the evidence. I think
maybe you just got used to it
while you're. House was still under construction and no one cared, but now that somebody lives there, it's an issue.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably correct. But like, yeah, that seems like such a weird way of hiding evidence is to dump it on someone else's lawn. Like, obviously they're going to complain, right?
How do you even like hide being a smoker, really? Especially like a
regular
smoker. Don't you stink?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was cigarettes, right?
Yeah, cigarettes, like,
that's
legitimate.
That's such a, like, small little treat to sneak, too. You would think if he's sneak smoking, he'd do, like, a cigar or weed or something more exotic,
a cigar usually is just kind of, like, a celebratory thing or, like, a social thing. Not so much, like, a full habit.
He's celebrating sneaking it from his wife. He got away with it.
Yeah.
No, I think it's, like, I think he's probably been a smoker throughout his life. And then there might have been an argument or a fight with his wife at some point, and he's gone off it. He said that he's not going to smoke anymore. Now he doesn't smoke. if I'm going to psychoanalyze him, I may as well go the full way. And then, so he's maybe the stress of the environment at the moment in terms of banks going under and stuff has caused him to reevaluate his life, and now he wants to smoke again. So
he's plotting the murder of his wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
so that was
anonymously gift them a vape.
Yeah, I felt like I was, because we also had some troubles with him. With him specifically, not the wife, throughout the building process. He tracked me down in my other property before I had moved into my property, my new property, I mean. He somehow found my address and tracked me down to, like, sort out, like, a fencing dispute kind of thing, which I thought was pretty fucked up. Like, tracked me down. Like, my address wasn't public or anything. He just showed up on my door and knocked. And like,
probably just ask the contractor then. Or something.
I assume so, yeah. But I thought that shit was meant to be like confidential. I don't know. It just felt
weird. I
highly
doubt it.
So yeah, there's been a few issues with him in the past. So I was fully expecting to get into a full on brawl in the streets about it, because he's like a pretty big dude. But yeah, no, it was a nice little conversation with his wife, and I outed him to her, which is good. So
no, he's gonna
we'll
be
extra
angry.
Yeah, starts dumping meth on my lawn.
Dead animals.
Upgrades, yeah. So I guess along that vein, have you guys ever had any neighbor disputes or any kind of big confrontations in your life that you can point to? Really?
Mm-hmm. All the time. When I was a teenager,
I must have been so lucky.
Turkey, when, it, like, the thing you have to know, in Turkey, our buildings are basically made out of sand. Which is why they collapse if anybody shakes the ground with like an earthquake. It also means you can literally hear the neighbors like flush their toilets and have disputes with their wives or like walk around. And we had the upstairs neighbor from hell. This bitch would come home drunk at like 3 a.m. and vacuum in stilettos. This is a habit I've still not figured out. She would come home at 3 a.m. from some fucking bar drunk out of her mind, because we would literally yell at her and she would yell at us. I've been yelled at by her. I have yelled at her. And keep in mind, I was like 15, 16 or something. Her older brother came to yell at me and I yelled at him. And oddly enough, one time when I was doing an internship at a tech company, my boss actually knew our upstairs neighbor. And he said, oh yeah, that guy's always been an asshole. He literally knew his name and everything.
He's known around town.
Yeah, I guess, as an asshole neighbor. I mean, his whole family. Anyway, I would lose my mind, though. If anybody's ever had to suffer through, like, noise, relentless noise, we lived across a fucking nightclub, too, which was just awful. But I would snap. I would genuinely just sometimes fucking lose it. I would take, like, a baseball bat and start hitting the pipes and, like, the walls and the ceiling to, like, fucking simmer down, bitch, and shit.
But what about your downstairs neighbor? Now they're going to listen to you beating the pipes.
No, I know. I mean, it's not as if I made a lot of sounds otherwise, unless they made me snap. Of course, I also felt bad. Anyway, they also made the ceiling leak a few times, so it was just a horrible fucking neighbor. One day, their mom died, the elderly one, and I remember like opening our apartment door to the stairwell as they were carrying her body out to the ambulance or something, and I yelled, "That whore is in hell now," and I slapped the floor.
Holy shit.
You weren't a fan, I could see.
Fuck them. That entire family is hellbound. You know that older brother of her that I just mentioned? He came down to yell at my mother, my single mother, and her like teenage boy son. Like, fuck you. Who the hell does that? They
Why?
Were the trashiest
what were
fucking
they yelling,
family.
What were they yelling at you guys about?
My mom literally just left him a note, please stop banging on the floors at 3 a.m. And he somehow took this as the biggest slight in his life. He really had his ego bruised for some fucking reason, because apparently it was his little nephew that was making the noise. Which is like,
at
why the fuck is your five-year-old like, yeah, like what the fuck? So he was like, actually, I don't know if he was inebriated or what, but he was like spitting, screaming in my face, and he crumpled the paper up and threw it in my face and everything.
It's probably because you suggested that he should parent his nephew, and he didn't like that.
You shouldn't
and
do
Turks
that.
Have this...
Yeah, you did go a little far when you suggested that his nephew keep it down at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's a little fucked up.
How's he supposed to express himself?
Yeah.
There's also this thing where Turkish people especially get very defensive about boy children. Like, my boy should be able to do fucking anything, and how dare you tell him to stop, basically. They get very offended over it. But yeah, that was the neighbor from hell. One time the neighbor lady herself also came up to our place to scream at us because my mom had sent her a message to please turn the TV down. So she came home from the fucking bar.
Why were you guys
so fucking drunk?
Oh my God. Why were you guys constantly sending little notes to them asking politely?
Just pleading. Turn it off. And so she comes, she's screaming at us again, and guys, like, she is so drunk, I can smell it. Like, if I threw a lit match at her, she would light up like a Christmas tree. She was soaked in alcohol. So she screams, she goes back up, and my mom is desperate now. They're still banging on, just making noise, and she's like scared that they're gonna leak the ceiling again. So we call the cops. My mom
I was gonna say, when did the cops get a
complaint? Yeah, so she calls the cops. They show up an hour later. One cop. This cop looks like a fucking mugger. I was actually scared of the cop.
He's a part of their family.
He knocked on the door and he was smoking. He was like, what's the issue? And he had like completely yellowed like hands because he was just, I guess, chain smoking the whole time. He didn't do anything. He said, I knocked on their door and they didn't answer.
He just started making more noise.
He starts banging on the walls. Starts clogging.
I have to really underline just how scary the police officer looked. I almost called the cops on him again. It's like, this sucks. Nothing was as good for my mental health as just moving out from there into Germany.
I lived in an apartment, we had a neighbor similar to that, but it wasn't like an old woman or anything. It was I think it was a single mom, if I remember correctly, and she had like a teenage son. And for some reason, they would always be like banging on the floor pretty late at night. I don't understand why that's so common in apartments. I really don't.
Sounds like you lived under Kaya.
Yeah.
I got off kind of lucky with a similar story, but I had an apartment neighbor where every single day, even weekends, I don't know why. I never figured out anything about them, but we shared a wall between the two main bedrooms. And every single day at about 6:30 in the morning, they would blast like pop rock. And it would last for about 30 minutes and then shut off and not be heard again for the rest of the day. So I think it was their alarm in the morning. Yeah. But it was so loud, I could hear every lyric of what the singers were singing through the walls. And after, like, I kind of ignored it at first because I was like, okay, maybe it's, I don't know, something's just going on, whatever. And then after a few days of it, when it would hop on and I'd get woken up, I'd start banging on the wall. And I'd just be like, hey, cut that shit out. But they couldn't hear it because the music was so fucking loud. I did get off lucky, though. Eventually, I wrote them a note and I was like, hey, I work nights and, you know, you wake up really, really early and I can hear your alarm through my wall and it's just completely ruining my sleep. Would you mind, you know, cranking it down or figuring out something else? And after that, it happened a couple times, but it was very sporadic. It was it just seemed like, it seemed to me like every now and then they'd forget and it would happen. But yeah, they stopped. I was shocked. I was shocked it was that easy.
Did they like make any contact with you after that point to say sorry?
I think they still live there and I have never once spoken to them or seen who they are or anything. But I hear them, you know, moving around in there every now and then. But I was amazed that it worked. I really thought they were going to be dickheads about it.
That I was going to say, that's like the main issue with confrontation with me, especially in like neighbor disputes and stuff, is you don't know. Generally, you don't know what kind of person you're dealing with, and the confrontation itself could just be an escalation into even more miserable living standards. Mm-hmm. Like, the person could start going insane. Like, I was taking a risk talking to my neighbor because there could have been the potential for even more cigarette butts being dumped on my lawn. I don't know. I don't know what the outcome of that situation was going to be.
Yeah.
You guys see that news article where some guy, I think, was shoveling snow, and his neighbors came out and said, shoveling your snow into our yard. And they started arguing, and one of them said, shoot us then, you fucking loser, or something, and the guy came out with his gun and shot them.
That is actually such a fucked video, Kaya. I know exactly what you're talking about. So this...
I've not seen the video.
Oh, to explain.
I probably got half of that wrong, too.
You're close. The video is fucking horrifying. It was these two neighbors. They lived together for a while, or across from each other for a while. They usually get in arguments and shit, and I think it was about shoveling snow, like they were shoveling snow and getting on the other guy's property or whatever. And they started arguing in the street, and then the argument stops, and the one guy goes back to his house, gets his fucking pistol out. Or no, was it a pistol? I don't think it was a pistol. He gets some
gun.
Yeah, he gets some fucking gun out and just executes the lady in the street. Like, he shoots her, she falls over.
Fuck.
He then puts the gun to her head and said, "You should have kept your fucking mouth shut."
Oh,
and
my God.
And then blows her head off. And then the dad runs into the garage only to get shot and killed by him as well. And then the neighbor went into his house and killed himself.
So you don't know who you're dealing with.
You really don't. That video was haunting.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because he was so calm about it too. He just said, "You should have kept your fucking mouth shut," and then killed her on the street in broad daylight.
Execution.
Yep.
That's
executed her in broad fucking daylight.
Well, I guess he wasn't that calm about it though, if he killed himself afterwards.
Well, I just mean like the video itself. Like, he's very, very
calculated.
Like, hauntingly calm, yeah.
Literal psychopath.
Yep.
It wasn't like couple also have a child. That's not an option.
I have no idea.
Jesus Christ.
It seemed like they were in their 40s, 50s, so they probably had children.
I think the same thing every single time with road rage. Like,
road rage is never worth it. Yeah.
When you're driving on the road and you see these people who are like tailgating and speeding and flying through lanes and like flashing brights and honking and doing all this shit, I always think, you know, what if they're behind the car of a dude who's just got a shotgun in the back seat? Like, what the fuck do? You just caused your own funeral.
Even have to generally worry about that in Australia, obviously, but there are like cases even here that I've heard of, like, admittedly more rural, like out in the, you know, middle of nowhere, like these giant farm properties get in disputes with each other. There's one recently, I'm pretty sure, like in the last year, and somehow that escalated to the point where two people were shot and killed. So it happens even here. And yeah, it's just, you never know who you're dealing with on the other end, what kind of mental situation.
Don't yell this at people. That's right, you're a pussy. Pussy, pussy. Her husband continues while flipping off the man. It's like, why? This reminds me of that other video of the, like, four hicks fighting each other. Not fighting, but they had basically a standoff, and two of them had guns. You guys remember the I Doubt It couple?
Like, the fat guy and his son.
They were arguing over a mattress or something, and their hick neighbors were like, "You're not gonna shoot us, you're not gonna do shit. I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want." And the hick was basically just going, "I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it." Until at the very end, he shot them both.
Yeah.
Why do you argue with somebody holding a gun to you?
Well, what I never understand is why they go forth and provoke when the dispute could be settled. The whole point of a dispute is, oh, we have an issue. And then eventually you realize either they're not gonna budge or you can reach a common ground. And when you reach that point, that's when you walk away. But what they'll do is they'll reach that point and then they'll keep provoking and like escalating for no reason.
Well, they'll escalate even like if you're talking to like a brick wall, like if you don't get the results that you want from the confrontation itself, like the person blows you off, to continue that is just like
brain
dead. Just weird to continue to when the person has a gun. If you pull a gun, I don't care if I'm in the right anymore. This fucker is pulling out a gun on me over a goddamn mattress. I'll settle this in court or something. And I'm not here right now. I'm leaving.
That's a level of escalation I don't think words can reach. I don't think I could convince him at that point. He's pulling out of 44.
That reminds me of one of my favorite.
You just need to be better with your word choice. You can set down the gun like, "Wow, I can't believe it. I see the error of my ways now, Jackson. Thank you."
Are you saying,
"I dare you, pussy, pussy, I dare you, pussy," is bad negotiation tactic?
Yeah. You are shoot me, pussy.
It's a charisma check. That reminds me of my favorite subgenre of videos on the internet that I will always watch, of Russian traffic violations, where you'll have a car behind another one and they're like, you know, tailgating, speeding up, honking, maybe tapping their bumper, and the dude in front of them will just pull an AK-47 out the window, and then everything just immediately stops and they'll go about their day. It's so good. It happens all the time.
It happens in America as well, right? California is pretty wild with police chases at the moment, from what I've noticed.
There's a lot of those.
There was a recent one that I was watching where, I'm trying to remember. The guy was driving erratically and started being chased, and he was just taking pot shots out the window, basically, at cars behind him. So yeah, it happens everywhere. It's wild.
Yeah,
it's insane. What is up with California police chases? California. Does that happen? Does that happen everywhere in America? Or is it just California?
That's the hub of police chases.
It's also because it's the densest population area with a lot of cars, but it happens in every state.
That's pretty ironic, considering they don't police anything else ever, and you can pretty much just be a criminal freely, like it's GTA. With like the zero star heck. And then Californians are so used to this now. Have you guys seen this candidate for a DA in California who says that you should just get used to people breaking into your car?
Yeah, that's San Francisco. San Francisco, I think.
I put it in our...
They fucking elected Seth Rogen. Are you kidding me?
Topic. Oh yeah, that was Seth Rogen too. Yeah, basically the same. Yeah, so there's this person, I don't know who this is, but Snehal Antani, who was lamenting that like people broke into his friend's car and stole like $10,000 in gear, and they were obviously just very upset by this, I guess, because who the fuck likes to be robbed? And there's the implication of, well, what if I had been in the car? Like, what if
they would have robbed me?
Would I have had a gun in my face? Like, but anyway, John Hamasaki says, interesting. Would getting your car window broken and some stuff stolen leave you, quote, scarred forever? Is this what the suburbs do to you? Shelter you from basic city life experiences so that when they happen, you are broken to the core? That's like such a douche.
That person is another psychopath, because you're not considering, yes, it could. What if you're diabetic and they steal your backpack and your insulin's in there? Good luck.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
What if you're used to city living, pussy?
Yeah, fucking toughen up.
It's wild to me that thievery, theft, is like treated as like righteous at the moment. Like, often see on Twitter thieves being like celebrated, taking you to the fucking corporation.
If you care at all, you're a little bitch pussy. Like, well, you care about your stuff stolen.
Kaya is also completely correct about everyone just accepts it. Mark Rober, the guy who does engineering projects on YouTube, he made a video where he fucked with car thieves in San Francisco because it is the car break-in capital of the United States. It's gotten so bad there that people, when they park, leave the trunk open just to show thieves there's nothing in the car.
Yeah, I heard this too. The trend where they just leave their cars literally unlocked because, you know, if they're going to break in, they're going to break in anyway. Might as well save them the trouble of breaking my window.
Yeah, exactly.
So John continues, by the way. He says, I've had my windows broken two times when I was living paycheck to paycheck. It sucked financially, but it had zero impact on my sense of public safety. I can't even imagine the world one must live in where this would be the most traumatizing incident in their life.
That's insensitive. Oh my God.
Such a douche.
It has nothing to do with insensitive. It's insanity is what it is. it's fucking stupid.
It's both. Imagine if you're struggling. Imagine if you're homeless and all you have is a car where you sleep. Someone breaks your window. Cool. You now have nothing insulating you from if it gets cold outside.
It's not even that. It's like the wage disparity, the income disparity, the like class disparity. 99% of people in general will be affected in like a pretty major way by having their car broken into and items stolen from them. That is a large amount of people that would be affected by this.
Like Jackson said, it's so normalized now, especially this shit with the shoplifting is a victimless crime. Why do you care, Karen? Whenever like a grocery store employee actually prevents a crime, like a shoplifter, it's always, why does this Karen care? Stupid Karen, you're not paid enough to Karen. It's like these people have such low resolution brains, they literally cannot like think to the conclusion of the shit that they advocate. Like, okay, if everybody shoplifts, you know what happens? What happened in Portland? Walmart literally is going to shut down all of their locations in Portland because of shoplifting. Imagine being so shitty, like too shitty for Walmart in your city.
Kaya, you reminded me of a very good one I wanted to bring up.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but this, by the way, translated into a loss of like 600 jobs. So all of those employees are now unemployed. Do you think this is good for a community? Keep shoplifting, though.
God.
It's so dumb.
Now, you reminded me of a good one I wanted to bring up, but I do have to have a little disclaimer. Do not shoplift Harry's razors. They are worth the price.
Yeah. 100%.
You should pay for Harry's pay razors. Them more. Because here's the thing. They come in at a great value. You know, you would be thieves out there. You would be no do-gooders. Might see them on the shelves and go, oh, I might just pull a little five-finger discount. But then you're going to notice that the Truman Shave trial set is a $15 value for just $3. And you're going to go, what? Oh my God, I'll pay double. That's an amazing offer. But then you're going to ask, what's in that Truman Shave trial set? Well, happens to be a five-blade German-engineered razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover with blade replacement deliveries for just $2. Harry's is going to make self-care products better than ever before. They're going to have shaving creams for both before and after your shave, body washes, hydrating lotions, and more. They've got ergonomic weighted handles, and they basically own their own production line, so you know that they're going to be taking care of their own quality. I believe every official boy shaves. I don't think any of us are abstaining. No? No?
Well, no, you're correct.
I do know that when I need to get it close and done and fully complete, the job is left up to Harry's. And you out there can upgrade to a razor and skincare routine that will have you looking your best with Harry's. Get a $15 Truman Shave trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/official. That's spelled harrys.com/official for a $3 trial set. Anyhow,
Thank you, Harris.
Yeah.
Just real quick. I since we've only had one ad, I just want to quickly shout out Godslap issue 3 is out, godslapbook.com. It's fantastic. Our best work yet. So go check it out.
Did you pay for the slot?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You'll notice it's in your bank.
I'm just making sure. So Kaya, you are 100% correct with shoplifters often feel vindicated and often feel that they're in the right.
Not only that, people feel that way. Even like spectators on Twitter, they're like, that's good, that's great, fuck yeah.
That's what's most annoying to me. That, like, I get the person perpetrating the actual thief, because they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't think they were doing the right thing. I get that. It's still dumb, but I get it.
What's so funny is they don't have to think they're right when they do it from circumstance. If someone is struggling or needs food, they can, you know, shoplift and say, well, I have to do it. But they should never say this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Yeah. It's theft.
It's not the ethical or moral solution.
Yeah. To give myself a giggle yesterday, I was reading 1-star reviews of like supermarkets and restaurants. Like, I found a fun little thread and they were pretty funny. Just people complaining about stupid shit and the manager's responses, etc. But one person wrote that they shoplifted from a high-end grocery store and they got caught by the manager. And the manager was like, come with me to the office and I won't call the police. You know, and she went in there and gave all the info. And she said, I was only shoplifting from your store because I'm a vegan and you have the best selection of vegan foods.
Vegan food is just so expensive.
And then the conflict escalated and the manager did call the police and they put a mark on her record. And she was complaining and said, I now have a mark on my record for absolutely nothing.
Jesus.
Thanks a lot, store. And it's like, how fucking...
I'll never steal here again. You've lost my business.
how entitled could you possibly be?
It's not thief accessible.
I know. If you are struggling to find food, you are not allowed to be on a diet. That's all there is to it. You are not allowed to be picky.
Eat Doritos and cups of noodles.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's so funny. I can't believe there's people like that in the world.
I hate it so much, these fucking... And it's like, they're usually the people like talking about it online in positive terms, like the people saying, hey, it's not bad. You're bad for saying he shouldn't steal something. Or those kinds of people. They're usually not like the poor people. They're usually not like the people that are actually out there struggling or anything. It's usually like affluent people. I don't know why. I don't know what the reason behind all this sudden, like...
It doesn't affect them, that's why. Like, that DA candidate whose tweets I just read, he isn't going to be affected by this, neither is Seth Rogen. Yeah. They're not affected by any of their own policies. Like, again, California, crime-riddled, homeless-infested place where, like, everything is drenched in fentanyl. But not his gated community. In his nice gated community, he doesn't have to see any of that shit with his private security. It doesn't affect him. And if people break into your car, well, it's kind of your problem, buddy. Get over it.
Yeah, buy a garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love is
move into this neighborhood garage, instead. Yeah. Yeah. Get a gate.
Why doesn't everyone just live in this lavish, incredible multi-million-dollar house?
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
Why are you all out there?
Buy a house, stupid.
Seth Rogen seems like the kind of guy to say, why are you homeless?
Oh, he really does strike me as that kind of guy. Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe them. Like these, you know, to defund the police types who then have like private Blackwater security with them 24/7.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's easy for you to say, isn't it, buddy? Fucking assholes.
Oh, yeah, boy. So can't stupid. Wait to see him as Donkey Kong in the new movie, you know?
Ooh. It's going to be good.
All right, well, this week.
That was fun.
Did you guys see? I have a wacky one. It's not like a big topic, but it's something wacky. Did you see the Pentagon made a... Well, I don't even know if this is even fully true at the moment, but they made a statement saying that they may have identified an alien mothership.
What?
No. What? I did see that, but it's basically just a hypothetical. Yeah, it was in a report where they said, well, hypothetically, what could happen?
It could be an alien mothership out there, yeah. But the fact that you even said that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I keep telling you guys, like, they're like slow drip admitting that there's something out there. And I don't know what, but you guys see what I mean, though? Like, it's no longer the old crop of like some hick claiming that he got abducted by a UFO and that something put in his butt. It's like actual like old government contractors and shit coming out now. Talking about all the secret projects that they used to work on.
And I don't know if you've noticed, Kaya, but I've seen it because I talk about it on stream. Somehow, even with these, like, you know, slow admittance of like, oh, there really might be something out there. There's people that are like, nope, government's still lying to try and cover up the Epstein blacklist or the Epstein flight list. Like, somehow the conspiracy always goes deeper, and now even when they're being, like, upfront about this shit, it's like, oh, it's because they're trying to hide this from us.
To be fair, that's also how I think. I mean, the problem is that no matter what the government says, I always assume
it's
ulterior
so motives. Well,
that's not okay. The point I'm making. The point I'm making is they are literally finally, like, admitting shit about this kind of thing. And it's still like not fully believable enough.
But that, that's what Kai is saying. That he's saying that them admitting it is cause for concern.
Suspicious.
Because now it's like what's like, the ulterior motive?
Wait a minute. Why did you guys deny this for like 100 years? And now all of a sudden you're like kind of sort of saying, yeah, maybe.
What are you trying to hide now?
Is there something worse than aliens I should be worried about? Is there like aliens?
Super aliens. Jeffrey Epstein was an alien and us killing him was sort of
the leader. He was the diplomat.
On their planet, they fuck kids.
Yeah, they commit horrible things, but it's their culture.
Age is different on Epstein's planet.
They have an economy of shoplifting on his planet.
Age is different. Oh my god, that's like a hentai plotline right there. On my planet, she's a 2,000-year-old demon, actually.
Well, didn't you watch Interstellar? If you're close to a black hole or something, time happens differently. So.
This race of incredibly intelligent interdimensional beings just uses time dilation to fuck children.
Yeah, just a race of super advanced pedophiles.
Is that what Alex Jones meant by like fourth dimensional pedo vampires? Maybe he had a point.
Epstein's plane was actually a spaceship.
Well, yeah, we cracked the case.
Yeah.
Now what?
That's what the government's actually trying to hide.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we don't communicate with them is because we don't see eye to eye on their policy of fucking kids.
They're just disgusting.
Trying to keep it under wraps.
Oh, speaking of planes, Charlie, I saw you tweeted about this, which is hilarious. Boeing. Now, for those who have not seen the headline, Boeing is in, legal trouble because their planes kept crashing and crashing.
Yeah.
And their lawyers are now arguing that they should not have to pay what was it, like suffering or damages for the to the families of the dead because the people on the planes died so fast that they could not have suffered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flawless. Isn't the whole point of suing for pain and suffering the pain and suffering caused to the living people? Like, they've lost their family members?
That's what I thought, but the lawyers are arguing that it's for, like, the pain and suffering experienced from the people before they died. Which, I mean, you can still make the argument, like, even if they died quick, the planes going, like, that issue that had the planes crashing had them go into a fucking nosedive, so they knew it was coming the whole way. So they would have literally suffered, like, mentally the entire way down. You can still...
Don't you pass out pretty quickly if the G's are too high?
Probably.
I don't know. But also, well, I think they're arguing not emotional distress, but physical pain.
Yeah, so but
according to the article...
How do you even quantify physical pain?
You can't. That's their point. Boeing attorney cited an expert who said that the 737 MAX victims died painlessly because the airplane crashed into the ground so fast that their brains didn't have time to process pain signals from their nervous systems. What a fucking asshole.
That's such a brag. Hey, our planes crashed so fast you won't even feel dying.
Yeah.
I know. Right.
Jesus Christ.
But pain Very and suffering, cool like, even if they can argue that it wasn't physical, you could easily turn around and make the argument that the emotional pain and suffering is still worth compensation.
Yeah,
so it's it just feels fucking worthless. It's just super scummy. Like, it wasn't, like, some kind of freak malfunction. They were well aware of the problem and just didn't bother to fix it. They didn't want to spend the money, so... they should pay out the fucking wazoo.
It was almost malicious to some degree. Some would argue, myself included. But like you said, you're not paying the deceased. The pain is ultimately not an issue. From my point of view, it doesn't matter how much pain they were in. You've snuffed lives, and now you have to pay retribution to those people who those lives mattered to. That's what the pain and suffering is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
They should pay out the ass, but
absolutely,
I guess we'll see if they will.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're in such a tumultuous time in the airline industry at the moment. I think, like, we're kind of recovering from COVID. Like, these airline companies have gone through a bit of, you know, the ringer and stuff like that. Surely they would want good perception at this time when the market is finally opening back up in a large way. Surely they would want the good press and, like, goodwill of the people. And this just flies in the face of that. Like, hey, we're not going to pay what is deserved to these victims because we're going to use some shitty excuse that we just made up. Like, come on. How tone deaf do you have to be? Just pay the money.
It's legal maneuvering. They're just coming up with any argument they can to say, well, we shouldn't have to pay because... And
yeah,
this
keep
is
in
what
mind,
they
find. Yeah, this is also the company that didn't want to pay to have their planes be, like, safe and not crash, so it's not even surprising.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And it is the responsibility, I suppose, like, corporate responsibility of the lawyers to argue whatever case they can argue. But still, like, it's so tone deaf, and it just feels so slimy, because it is.
It is, yeah.
If I remember correctly, there's a documentary on Netflix that I forget what it's called, but it's about this whole Boeing 737 MAX thing. And if I recall correctly, they introduced a change to their operating system, essentially, that caused all these crashes that hypothetically would be, like, possible to prevent and or turn off if you were the pilot and you knew how. They just didn't bother teaching the pilots how.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay to retrain the pilots.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay to retrain all of the pilots, and, you know, airline companies would not have bought the new planes if it meant having all of their staff retrained. But
I think
such a stupid thing.
Absolutely, it was like a ploy to make the most money possible. I think the maneuvering to turn off the whatever the system is called on the plane. Was in, like, the notebooks, like, the tutorials, like, each plane comes with the handbook or whatever on how to operate it. It was located in there, but, like you said, the pilots had been retrained to fly that certain aircraft.
The abbreviation was in there. I remember this distinctly. The manual did not actually have a guide on how to use it or turn it off. It just had an explanation of what the abbreviation stands for, not what it is or does.
Well, okay, that's an issue, yeah.
Fucking assholes.
They didn't want to pay to reprint the manual.
What else is there? Anything new on the cuck front, Charlie?
No, same old, same old.
Nothing's changed. No. Are you getting bored of it now?
Kind of. It's still kind That's of wacky fair. To listen to like the streams he goes on, but other than that, yeah, it's just kind of the same old. I feel like there was something I was talking about the other. Oh, yeah. Did you guys see FDA's imposing new regulations on what the cereal companies are allowed to say when it comes to healthy cereals? And it excludes like 95% of all cereals, like from like General Mills, Kellogg's and shit, because of how much sugar they have. And in response, they've now started arguing that this is stepping on their First Amendment rights to corporate free speech to call their cereals healthy. So they're trying to like strike back against the FDA.
No, it's called false advertising.
No, but they're saying that it's their free speech right to be able to call it healthy. And then they even argue that sugar is actually very beneficial to childhood health.
So it's free speech to lie to your customers.
I mean, it is technically, I guess.
Technically it is, but in business law, it's not.
It was so crazy reading about it last night. They were legitimately making arguments from like back in the 60s when they tried to like make sugar a hero. They were saying like how sugar is extremely good for like a good, healthy overall diet. And then cited their own study that they paid for in 2019 to confirm their cereals are okay.
That's the classic move. That's the classic fucking food move where you want to make a claim about your food. So you fund the studies and like cherry pick them and go, yep, that's what it is. Fucking, I think it was Gatorade. The reason we think Gatorade is super duper hydrating is because all the hydration studies that support it were paid for by Gatorade to promote it.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can trust anything that comes out of like food companies about their food. They're trying to sell a product at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
This is like the only thing that the government should be doing, if anything. I also hate that like free speech libertarian fucking arguments where they just want, I don't even know what they want. Like rapture? Just an Ayn Randian, laissez-faire capitalist hellhole where the companies can just put fucking fentanyl
in
the
fuck was that?
Was that like a curse you just cast? What were those words?
Kaya, we're on the wavelength. Well, I understood what you said. Don't worry.
I didn't understand any of it. It came out like in like actual old English. That was crazy.
You said like laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire. I love that. I love that term.
Wow.
No, it just means unfettered capitalism. Like, Rapture and Bioshock is based on Ayn Rand's ideas or philosophy of economics, where everybody is basically permitted to do whatever the fuck they want, and then it goes to shit. And when I was a teenager and played the games and I heard about this, I downloaded her books to read them, and it's like, you can't have this. Like, you can't just let companies run amok without some checks. Mm-hmm. And balances, and it's the only thing the government should be doing, which is why I hate libertarians who come in with the, oh, I thought you were for small government, now you want all sorts of regulations. It's like, I want the small government when it comes to me and what I get to do, not fucking companies. Fuck them.
Yeah. Corporations have all the power.
Like, the government shouldn't be controlling my speech, but it should be controlling the speech of fucking corporations, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Well, yeah, regulate them. That's their job.
If that's what
regulate
they want
these companies fairly.
Speech is like literally lying to children and their parents about the poison that they put in their products. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the, I wish I remembered the history better, but Teddy Roosevelt came in when the companies were really fucking things up and running amok, and he interested in trust busting, which basically said, hey, you can't do that. You cannot be a company that's so big that you just eat up every other company. Stop
that. Was he the one that got rid of the railroad magnates?
I believe. If he is, I'm proud that you know more about presidents than I do, Jackson. That's very impressive.
I mean, I assume because it was like 100, 200 years ago, it would have been.
Yeah,
probably.
I know the railroads so and steel like railroad. Were a huge problem back then because it was company that did literally all of it.
Yeah, it was monopoly. So that's the only thing that made sense.
It was the Rockefellers, right?
Rockefellers and Vanderbilts, I believe, were the two.
Yeah, are you guys team? It's interesting. If that existed in this day and age, you think there would be like stands for each of those companies 100%. On Twitter promoting?
Yeah,
I'm team Vanderbilt.
I wouldn't step foot on a Rockefeller train. No, sir.
God, the future we could have had. Damn you, Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, things are better now, though. Instead of just one company running an entire service, it's three or four.
Yeah,
look at all the cell phones on Earth. Where do they come from, you know?
I mean, it's always great whenever you show people like how the internet just converged into Google, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, basically.
Yeah,
I have a DNS firewall thing, and I can see like in the logs all of my traffic, and it gives me neat analytics. Like, okay, here's all the like the majority of website traffic of your last 30 days, and even though I use zero Google products, like 30% of my traffic still flows through their servers, which is just insane. The dominance they have and all this shit. I follow this one lady attorney for, I think, Activision Blizzard or Microsoft. You guys know how Microsoft is trying to acquire Activision?
Buy Activision.
Yeah, but the government is trying to prevent them because they're claiming that this would lead to a monopoly and it would cause an unfair market advantage
for
them.
Well, it's mostly the EU, right? The EU is the one that is trying to prohibit it. From what I understand, that could be old information. Though.
The gaming business is so saturated, though, you would think that's not a very strong argument. I mean, companies buy other game companies buy each other all the time. Studios
Microsoft
constantly
buys a ton, though. Like, this isn't their first big acquisition. They've bought a ton of a major players.
That is true.
Huge acquisition. It was bigger than Twitter. And look at all the hoopla Twitter caused.
Well, even
it was
86 then,
billion, I think.
Even then, if we're just looking at umbrellas, the gaming industry, just look at the companies that run that. It's Sony, Ubisoft, EA, Microsoft, and Nintendo. Those are the big boys, you know?
Yeah, and before this acquisition, Activision would have also been counted up there. Activision Blizzard would have been one of those things. So it is kind of a concern. I can get the concern when two of those start to merge and form one super company. But at the same time, I don't think we're quite at like the monopoly stage of the games industry yet. But I mean, we could eventually, definitely.
Yeah, definitely possible. Definitely.
The fear is there. I get it.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's when it comes to like the government and companies, I'm like, always like this example. I'm the Asian dude from Godzilla. You know how the meme where he's looking on the horizon and Godzilla is fighting another kaiju? Yeah, let them fight. As long as they fight each other, they leave us alone maybe for a little bit and we can remain unfucked for just a split second.
Also, companies fighting is the lead cause for like innovation, at least at the moment. Lead cause for innovation and like better like prices for us.
Yeah,
so it is a good thing when they fight.
That's the competition whole argument. Yeah, you need competition.
Yeah. I want them to fight each other. Like the worst thing you can have is when a government and the companies work together, where you know they each do what the other is technically not permitted to do. It's like when the government wants to shut someone up, they can't do that technically because of the First Amendment. But as we've seen, they can't tell Twitter to just delete someone's account. And you know when a company wants to get rid of one of their competitors, they can't really do some sleazy shit most of the time, but they can bribe their local politician to introduce new regulations that they can meet, but that their smaller competitor cannot meet.
It's like the rule of two from Star Wars. The Sith Lords.
Everything goes back to
Star
Wars.
That's exactly what we were all thinking, Jackson, yeah.
There's always a bigger fish.
That's still one of Qui-Gon Jinn's best statements.
It is. It's so prophetic.
It's profound.
It just describes the whole series. There's always a bigger fish.
Well, it describes life.
Well,
really.
What really compounds it is before the setup is genius because Obi-Wan, his line is "Power's back," and it instills that there's power back in the Jedi when he turns the lights back on the boat. It's great foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the fish line really brings it back down to earth and really makes you think about your place in the universe. What's important with Star Wars, really.
It dictates their characters. Obi-Wan is a dreamer. He's kind of a seeing ahead, you know, grand big picture, whereas Qui-Gon Jinn is very, very subtle, very down to earth, very regular, very keeping the peace. And those two lines right there, you could analyze for hours on their significance.
Yeah. You know what I think is super impressive about that line? Is that they obviously placed it there in the first movie knowing that it would be paid off by the end of the series, because eventually Palpatine does return and he is the biggest fish.
Well, another incredible part of that line is they put it in the movie as a joke and yet no one in the theater laughed. And that's crazy to me. That's incredible that they took that risk. Insane. Yeah.
It paid off though, really. It paid off.
It did. It's made a lot of money.
I was so impressed when no one laughed in the audience. Yeah. It's like, wow.
I almost wanted to laugh out of pity, but I knew no one in the movie would hear me, so I just refrained.
Speaking of not laughing, the artistry. Did any of you see the new Shazam?
No, but I heard it's trash.
Yeah, I saw it. It is actually just kind of sad that the movie got made. Like, it clearly, like, they had no story to tell. It really feels like the most phoned-in shit ever. It is disastrous.
That's impressive for DC.
Wow. It's because the whole universe is getting reset. This actually just feels like they were like contractually obligated to make a second one and had to. Even the director has made a statement on Twitter saying like, "Yeah, I'm not surprised. We all saw where this was heading, but I got paid up front." He walked that back.
Wow. Oh, did he? He said it was a joke. Oh. Yeah, he said that it was a joke.
I think that was very much rooted in honesty, though. Like, no one's surprised by how poor the movie's doing in the box office.
He's usually a good director too. I like David Sandberg.
I don't think it's his fault. I really don't. I think when The Rock refused to be the villain and play ball with it, they kind of really had to scramble to make something out of Shazam 2, and they fucking failed.
Wait, but The Rock
is... to be the villain?
Yeah, isn't The Black Rock Adam. In the movie?
No, he's not in the movie at all. Black Adam has his own standalone film. He's not in the new Shazam.
Oh my god, I thought that was the new Shazam movie. I forgot those are two totally separate movies.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, I bet it was Rock saying, "No, I want my own movie. Put me in my own movie. I want to be the leading figure."
So Black Adam is literally the main antagonist of Shazam. So who the fuck is the protagonist in the Black Adam movie?
Well, the dragon.
Black Adam.
Yeah, Black Adam's a. Black Adam's the bad guy. No, he's the good guy in Black Adam.
What?
Yeah, he's the good guy.
He's literally Black Adam is literally the evil Shazam. That's the whole point.
Well, not in this universe.
I remember. So I never finished Black Adam. I saw it like halfway through or most of it, and then I got bored. But he gets resurrected. He's kind of just selfish. He isn't really evil. He just says, "I don't care about these pitiful mortal bullshit modern day Egypt." And then some kid convinces him to care. I don't know. So he does end up being nice, kind of, sort of.
Well, he becomes the hero.
Oh my god, dude!
I'm tired of
what
Dwayne Johnson.
No. So Dwayne is the highest grossing actor in Hollywood. Like, his movies are the biggest movies. He's a great choice. But what they should have done as a compromise is keep him as the villain, but have him get like the biggest billing. Be like, The Rock is in this movie. Go watch it for The Rock. But
yeah, like the Scorpion King.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good example. But so instead, they made it its own movie where they made the villain the good guy.
They gave him a different villain to fight. He starts as like a morally gray person because he kills some of the people, like the bad guys. Then eventually, a kid's like, "You got to stop killing," and he's like, "Okay, I'll stop killing and I'll be a good guy." And then he becomes a good guy.
Oh no.
That's the kind of redemption story I can get behind when a little kid tells you what to do
and
you do it.
What's his aversion to playing a bad guy?
I don't know. I've only read that was his main complaint. Apparently he joined because he wanted to be opposite of Superman, but then they canned Cavill, which lost them The Rock as well. So the whole...
What?
So pretty much everything they were doing with Shazam died on the spot because of that.
Isn't Cavill now doing a Netflix show where he just reads the lore of Warhammer?
That was so disappointing. Yeah. Like, I thought he was making an actual Warhammer show.
Yeah, everyone did. Everyone thought it was going to be this big, well-crafted, like, leading man Warhammer story, and it's just him sitting on a couch reading the Lord of the Games.
I was so disappointed when I found out.
You should
have
just started a YouTube channel instead.
Literally, it would have been better as a YouTube series. Straight up, would have been cheaper, too.
Yeah, but they're paying him to read it. Like, he doesn't... Yeah. We know why.
True.
Are you guys done with superhero movies?
Oh, they fucking suck. I am so tired of superhero movies now. They're all exactly the same.
Charlie, can we at least see The Flash? Because it's going to be such a train wreck of trying to save it.
Yeah, of course.
I still see them for the moist meter, but they are just not fucking good.
They're not fun anymore. There's no, like, creativity. But there hardly ever was, to be honest. But, like, really now everything is so milquetoast and
boring, predictable. And a big thing that they lost, and they still have not recovered from Endgame. Like, the build-up, the adventure, the hype, the whole, oh, who's coming next and what are they going to contribute? That was fun. Even if their movie wasn't great, you still enjoyed seeing their origin and what brought them into the team that's going to fight Thanos. But now, that's done. And DC never really even had anything like that. So now, you get not only Marvel not knowing what the fuck to do and how to generate that same buzz, but you also have DC just going, hey, we're making superhero movies because we're making superhero movies. And it's boring. They're all just boring.
It's so fucking
DC's
bad.
Only good movies were when they, stop trying to make a superhero movie.
Well, what's funny is DC...
Even the Batman wasn't really a superhero movie.
When DC goes to the old school stuff, they do a great job. Their animated superhero movies are, on the whole, good.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They're not amazing, and some of them are kind of bad, but most of them are good. They're well animated. They're good plots. They're good. And they're simpler. But their big budget Hollywood shit is just not. It's just trash.
Yeah, I'm just I can't force myself to go watch superhero movies anymore. I really can't. It's painful.
There's just nothing in the movies anymore. Like whenever I look at
it,
tickets,
fucks the
just
entire
to...
movie industry.
I know
it really has.
Yeah,
it's depressing. Yeah. Like there's nothing you can see for fun.
What happens to the movie industry after this when superhero movies inevitably do die to some degree?
Yeah, what's the next
they
trend?
Diminish just such a
I don't know, but I am excited for when that happens because I know we're gonna get some of the wackiest shit ever. I just saw a trailer last night. I feel like we're in that era. It's coming up. Andrew, you and I need to see this with Aaron. There's a movie coming up with Russell Crowe called Pope's Exorcist, and
I heard of that.
Yeah, so Russell Crowe's an exorcist and he's battling demons, but they make it like some kind of fucking action film. It's so goofy looking. It looks
like
amazing. No. Not at all like Constantine. He's literally just like this chubby exorcist who goes around, talks to demons, and they're like,
so you're the exorcist, eh?
And then he's like, yes, I am, and he burns them. It's so stupid.
He is so chubby in that movie.
I am really excited for Pope's Exorcist. I saw the trailer last night, and I am beyond hype.
Yeah, it really is filmed like an action movie. That's so funny.
There's a scene where like a lady's rising from the ground in front of him and Russell Crowe goes, my faith has been rewarded. And then it's the lady's face and she's like, ah, and he's like, oh, it's so dumb.
I'm surprised Russell Crowe's still working.
I can't fucking wait for that film.
You know, Russell Crowe's in an incredible comedy movie that I don't think many people have seen.
Which one?
I'm trying to remember the name of it. It had Ryan.
Reynolds.
Was he attractive, Ryan?
Ryan Reynolds.
Gosling. No. Yeah, Ryan Gosling. You know.
Well, Reynolds is also attractive. Don't undersell him.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But Ryan Gosling is more attractive. It was The Nice Guys, yeah. If you want a good comedy movie, watch The Nice Guys. It was fantastic.
You made me Google Pope's Exorcist, and turns out the Pope actually has a right-hand man exorcist, and now I'm looking at his photos, and it's just this old turtle-looking man holding a fucking crucifix in my face. He kind of has style, I'm not going to lie.
Russell Crowe is such an enigma of a human because he's this schlubby-looking, depressed man who you would think would play like the exasperated dad or like the kind of just disgruntled factory worker, but he always plays these big action roles.
I fucking love this guy. All of his photos are the same. It's him staring down the camera and holding his crucifix into the camera.
Isn't
Look
it
the
cool?
Cats.
Isn't it fucking cool? I am so excited for Pope's Exorcist.
No, I'm talking about the real one.
That's literally the trailer too. If you look at the trailer, it is actually just that as well. Half the time, it's just him shoving the crucifix at the camera.
Holy shit.
That's awesome. Oh, speaking of actors, we talked about the whale last week. Have you talked about the fat shaming?
From USA Today.
The controversy around the whale Oscar win for best makeup and hairstyling. Does anybody have that tweet of somebody going that this is so offensive to me and whatnot?
I know what tweet you're talking about. Is it the one where they're talking about how it should have been played by like a real 600-pound actor and that this is disgraceful?
Yeah.
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 The point I'm trying to make here is that other oppressed minorities have made it clear that it is not okay for the white wealthy elite to write, slash direct, slash star in movies about them. This should apply to fat people too, as we are an even, as we are an oppressed minority. This film also won best makeup slash hair. You know, the gall, the absolute gall of someone to say that overweight people are a minority in America.
So, Kaya, here's the point I brought audacity. Up. Here's the point I brought up, and I still think it's super relevant. If you're going to make that point, if you're going to say, okay, that fat people should play these roles, let me ask you a question. Name a single talented Hollywood actor who is over 500 pounds. Yeah. Brendan Fraser plays a 600-pound man in The Whale. So their argument is, well, fat people should play fat characters. Okay. Name a big-name Hollywood actor who is over 500 pounds. I can think of maybe one, and I don't even think she is. Is Precious that large? I don't think she is.
I don't think
so. That's 300.
Yeah, I don't think there's one that even comes close.
Exactly.
I think she lost weight, if anything.
Yeah, she did. She did lose weight.
Yeah, she went from 300 to 150, apparently.
But she is a large actress, and she's known for playing large characters. And yeah, that's the only one I could think maybe would ever even come close. But no, not even.
Except if, like, Christian Bale gained weight and became 600 pounds, or is that like doing fat face?
Yeah,
he did that though. Yeah, he did that for that 70s crime thriller where he played a guy with a big gut. I watched that movie. What's
it
called?
Talking 600 pounds, and I'm asking if they would accept that or if they would say this is still like mockery.
You're appropriating my weight.
Appropriating my weight. Yeah. My favorite part about this article, by the way, is hang on, Control F. Some experts have argued roles like this should go to actors who naturally have these body types. And I just want to know, who naturally has a body type of 600 pounds? This is not a natural body type. You actually have to fight nature quite hard and consistently to get that fat.
Yeah.
It just, it feels like we've kind of lost sight of what acting is as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, The entire point of acting is to portray something that
you
might
not
perhaps be real or what you might not be. But yeah, it's
otherwise it's just called a documentary. If you're just playing yourself, that's not acting. It's literally not acting, technically speaking. The Whale winning sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, just real quick. Do you think Forrest Gump could have been made today?
I think it's harmless enough that it could. I don't think it's an offensive portrayal of that type of person. I think it's it's tasteful enough.
Is The Whale an offensive portrayal of
being that's what
fat?
I was going
to
say.
Fat people, it definitely is.
If we go back and say, all right, now instead of if Tom Hanks wasn't portraying someone with a mental disability, what if it said he was portraying someone who's fat? And Forrest Gump was a beast. What about that situation? Would that be too offensive?
Instead of running, he rolls across America. He builds up momentum and crushes a child on a bike.
Wait, there was a movie. Who ate Gilbert Grape or something? What was that?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah, that's it. Was that woman? Well, that was the eating in that movie. Was the mum in that wearing a fat suit, or was she legitimately that fat?
I don't know.
I don't even know
the movie.
You don't know what's Eating Gilbert Grape?
No.
Okay. I know the movie. I've just never watched it.
It's good. It was young Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, going back to that, though, do you guys think that Tom Hanks could have wore a fat suit and got away with it?
So are you asking if it depends on the actor getting away with it? Like, do you think that Brendan Fraser being the choice is offensive to them? Like, what if it was a fat actor?
No.
So let's picture this scenario. Imagine it's a fatter actor, like, I don't know, Seth Rogen or someone larger. And he puts on a fat suit to get even fatter. Do you think they'd be okay with that?
That's a good question. Because they are technically overweight, so they are fat.
but not as fat, so they right. still so, have privilege.
So yeah, and they put out press releases like, we really wanted this guy to just be large, and you know, I had the body type, but rather than commit to it, we wanted to enhance the effect, you know, for the movie. Do you think they'd be okay with that?
Fuck, I don't know.
I think the answer is very easy. There is nothing that you can make today that's going to be squeaky clean. Someone's always going to find something to be mad about. So no matter what you do, they are going to be upset about that.
Yeah, I get that, but this one actually gained traction. It had a lot of
every single complaint ever gains traction.
I feel like this one actually gained a lot of traction, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, because of salty fat people. I read that. I guess there's a lot of fat people. CDC, again, my mind is blown that they claim to be an oppressed minority. I think the CDC now says 94% of Americans are overweight, like some flavor
Holy
of overweight.
Wouldn't be surprised.
This on CNN, actually. I don't know if they were citing the correct number from the CDC, because that seems wild.
That seems outrageously high, yeah. Obesity is a huge thing in America, but 94% of people are somewhat overweight is a crazy stat that I don't believe.
Yeah, I feel like they must have made a typo, too.
I would believe, 60%.
Yeah, I'd even go as high as, 70, maybe, but anything more than that just sounds outrageous.
Doing a quick little Google and kind of scrolling around, it seems about 75 to 65% of people in America are overweight, with about 40-ish percent of those, or 40 of that percent being obese.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same.
So about 70%, I would say, is a safe estimate for overweight people.
That makes sense to me. I think that's believable.
There's got to be one good actor in that demographic, right? 40% of America. There's got to be somebody
who is the most popular fat actor right now? Because a lot of them lost weight.
Huh. That's a good question.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the work ethic required to be in a lot of movies exists in stark comparison to what it takes to get fat. So if you've got the determination and motivation to do a lot of the things that acting requires, I feel like that goes hand in hand with weight loss itself. So that's probably why you see fat actors lose weight over time. Who was that kind of chubby dude, a comedian?
Jonah Hill.
Comedy actor.
Yeah, Jonah Hill. And he lost weight. And my brain for fat actor always goes to Jack Black, but I'm pretty sure he lost weight. And it really isn't that fat anymore, if at all.
It's usually after retirement, if at all, they start gaining weight or whatever.
Seth Rogen is a chubby boy, but even then he lost a lot of weight. Zach Galifianakis.
Kevin Smith, maybe? But even Kevin Smith kind of got buffish.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais used to be chunky, and he's not anymore. Everyone on this list, I literally looked up fat actors, and nearly everyone on this list... that's a really big name. Lost weight. Maybe it's just not cool to be fat
wasn't even
anymore.
That fat. This list is mean.
Yeah, some of them are kind of mean. Okay, wait. I think I have an answer. Kevin James might be the most prolific fat actor.
That's who I was thinking. Yeah.
Even what's crazy, though, is maybe early he was, but nowadays he is not even I don't even think most people will look at him and be like, oh, wow, he's fat. They'd be like, he's a little out of shape.
Like dad bod kind of?
Yeah, almost, a pseudo dad bod almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really doesn't look that fat.
He's really not.
No one on this list.
Just maybe for the early 2000s, he would have been considered fat. But now it's just more he's not in good shape.
There's plenty of fat actors who are dead,
John
Candy.
Who's the guy from Saturday Night Live?
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley was a famous fat actor. Plenty from the past who were just actually he's fat. But, you know, now, who is a famous current going actor who's just genuinely fat? I don't know.
Can't think of any. Yeah,
it's just hard.
Maybe they're right. Maybe there isn't representation.
The guy who played the Kingpin, maybe?
Oh, no. Who is that?
Really that Pruitt Taylor Vince, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Would we count James Corden? Is he even really an actor?
He is unfortunately an actor, and he is not very fat.
Yeah, he's not like super fat. Again, like a chubby bear kind of.
Yeah, chubby is definitely the word.
Oh my god, every single one
of them.
Yeah,
so what the fuck is Hollywood supposed to do? So we're basically going through the motions of being a hiring agent, or whatever the fuck they're called, a casting agent, so there's no names. Who do you hire if you need a 600-pound actor?
Well, it's
that person complaining online.
Yeah, and that's just to placate them. The real crux of it should be you hire the best actor for the role.
Yeah.
And if you believe
That's the point of acting.
Yeah, if you believe for your movie about a recluse shut-in who has horrible health habits, if you believe Brendan Fraser is the choice, then you hire Brendan Fraser.
Tammy Slayton. If, look, in all seriousness, if I had to hire somebody for this role, I would just go through the TLC Rolodex. They have so many fat people on call.
we have the technology in fat suits to make people fat without, like, sacrificing their health. Why would we?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we do that?
Why don't people complain at the same time when they make characters taller for movies? For example, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is short in real life. But in every single movie, in every single movie, he's filmed from angles that make him look tall. We don't complain.
Entirely new camera shooting techniques to mask his height.
My favorite factoid about that was that he like walks on platforms to make him equal heights with all the other actors in the scene.
and yet no one complains. They laugh and they say, haha, you don't have a whole group of insecure short people going, oh, Tom Cruise is... Show his real height. Show him as he is.
Because the consensus on short men is they might as well kill themselves. Nobody ever stands up for them.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like people are so fucking mean towards just like
they
short
really
people.
They are so mean.
It's like that zero motion anywhere in the culture to like cut them any slack.
That and bald people, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Bald people are the biggest binary spectrum of hair. You're either a jacked up, roided, macho man who looks awesome bald, or you're the most pathetic, disgusting creature on the planet. It's one or the other.
Yeah, so the future's not looking good. Where's my representation?
Yeah, no one ever stands up for short guys. I think it's about time. I'll be a short
right now. They are standing up. We just can't see them, Charlie.
That's not true. Tom Cruise doesn't even embrace his real height. He's my size and he looks tall on screen, whereas I certainly wouldn't.
Would you prefer... what was I going to say? Would you prefer to be short or bald?
Short.
Like, actually short. Like, ooh. 5'2".
Oh, fuck.
Is that too short? Is that like a legal
dwarfism? Like, that's really, really short. I don't know. That's I
maybe think 5 feet. It's easier to wear a good wig than like, walk on stilts.
I'd pick bald every time.
I feel like you'd be able to get away with being. I guess you could with balds though, if you had like a good personality and like were really charismatic.
Yeah. I'd pick
bald. I guess
bald.
You could still do that with bald.
I think if you're just looking at it from aesthetics, you know, both of them, it's more attractive to be taller and have hair, yes. But in terms of utility, being tall is way more convenient than being short. Like top shelves of things, roller coasters, etc.
You can really provide for your woman at that point.
Whereas I can't think
you can
of
reach the top shelf.
I can't think of many things in life where they go, sorry, you're bald. We can't. Sorry. No. Not allowed.
But you can for short. Oh yeah, roller coasters.
Roller coasters. Right.
Well, there's also certain things short people like legitimately can't fucking do, like physically.
Yeah, basketball. Basketball, being tall. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying it's easier when you're tall to play basketball.
Well, who's the shortest professional basketballer?
Muggsy Bogues.
Wasn't he like 4'9" or something?
Muggsy Bogues was 5'3", I believe.
Ooh,
smaller.
Oh,
than
that's
the
impressive.
Ball. Yeah, how does he dunk?
He doesn't.
How did he play?
He rode on another player's shoulders every game.
He was extremely good on defense. He was known for his lockdown defense. I think he's 5'3". Let me double check.
Mm.
Maybe they put him on another player like Krang.
What's 1.6 meters? That doesn't seem...
Yeah, he was 5'3". Just double-checked. He was 5'3".
Oh, that is 5'3".
Charlie, let me ask you a question. Do you think if you hired the same crew that makes Mission Impossible, those movies, and they filmed an action movie of you using the same Tom Cruise angles to make you look the same height as everyone else, could you yourself reasonably be convinced that you were that tall for that moment?
No. Absolutely not. I always know deep down I'm not that. It's all fake.
Do you think you could convince an audience with that style of filming?
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of the style of filming.
Right.
Well, yeah. Wait. Tom Cruise is actually shorter than Charlie. So yeah.
Tom Cruise is super, super tiny. He's a very tiny man.
Wait, he's 5'5".
Oh, yeah, he is. I thought he was like 5'6 or 5'7".
He's in between 5'5 and 5'6". So I'm just going down for you.
Hey, thanks.
God, that is so that's so fucking funny though, because I think I and nearly everyone else on the planet has a mental image of him being fairly tall because of the movies. Because
he's an action superhero.
Yeah, and then you just meet him in real life and you have to look down at him. That's insane. That's crazy.
Look down.
Literally, I would have to crank my neck to stare Tom Cruise in the eyes.
It's weird. Even in like normal photos with his kid and his wife from years ago, he really doesn't look. He doesn't look short. It's all about like your perception of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I'm posting this picture. There's a picture of him and his child and his girlfriend or wife or whatever. It's like, yeah, if you like compare him to the bin next to him,
his wife, who's taller than him, or seems
only
taller.
Only slightly.
Nearly, you don't know how tall she is. Nearly every photo of him, though, if you look, he's either wearing really large boots or platform shoes to help with his height.
True. Yeah, actually, he is wearing platforms.
So. Yeah. He's a short man.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's just embraced being short. It's getting offensive to me now, actually, the more we talk about this.
Because you're seeing a successful short person.
Well, I'm seeing a successful short person who refuses to be open about his shortness.
Yeah, true. That is pretty offensive.
Yeah.
Maybe being short's what made him great, and now he's turned his back on the community.
I think being a Scientologist is what made him famous.
No, he was an actor before he was a Scientologist.
Yeah, it was just another step in his career that made him more famous.
If you were like starting as an actor and like Scientologist guys came up to you and said, "Hey, join our crew and you can be the next Tom Cruise," basically. I'm taking that offer.
Yeah, absolutely. No way. What the fuck? Yeah. I just have to go to your goofy Xenu meetings every couple quarters or whatever. I'm down.
They also garnish your wages, though. Keep in mind.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You're Tom Cruise. You're fucking Tom Cruise. He escaped shortism. He's not short in our minds anymore.
They made him tall.
Scientology works.
He converted to Scientology, but he's still short. They couldn't fix that.
Yeah. That disproves their religion right there.
Tom Cruise got the happy Scientology ending. Wasn't Will Smith also one?
Well, I wouldn't say Will Smith is winning at all anymore if you look at what's been
going
on with
him. That's what I'm saying. He got the bad ending.
Yeah. He's the alternate bad ending. Tom Cruise got the true ending. Will Smith got like... ending C.
Yeah, Tom Cruise went through the game twice and collected all the collectibles.
Yeah.
The ending without the cinematic is just text that says your wife fucked other men.
Yeah, there's no cutscene. It just fades to black with an auto-scroll text of just all the horrible things that happens to you and then game over on the screen.
Yeah, really disappointing.
You died.
Your son looks like this.
Great marriage felled.
Did you guys have... Is anyone here like a Diablo fan?
I have never really liked Diablo, but I have been really liking 4. I finished the beta last night.
4 is so good. Yeah, it's so fun.
The story is also really interesting.
Wasn't there a weird thing where you could get a beta code by like eating at McDonald's or something going on right now?
Was it KFC?
I think it was KFC.
Or you can just pre-order the game, but yeah.
Yeah, you can just pre-order the game. It's really fucking good. And Blizzard, I fucking, hate their sexual harassment stuff, as one should. But their cutscenes are just next level.
They are legitimately
holy fuck, next level.
Have been. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like,
ever since Warcraft 3.
I don't understand why. I don't understand what they're fucking doing differently that other game studios can't do. Like, they have an in-house team, obviously, working on this, because it is constantly so good. And the cutscenes are fucking incredible. Such a surprising twist for me, because I didn't think I was going to enjoy it, but I love it.
Disappointing twist, though, when... Remember how everybody for, like, a decade begged them to make a Warcraft movie, and then they did, and it sucked ass.
Yeah, it was terrible, yeah.
Was that them, specifically, like, their animation team making that movie?
I don't know. I mean, the story and everything just sucked ass.
Yeah.
It had zero of the magic that made the Blizzard cutscenes fun to watch.
Yeah. But that's my thing I liked this week was Diablo.
Yeah,
very good.
I am shocked at how much I've enjoyed it. What are you playing, Jackson?
Fuck, Rogue.
Oh, nice. I'm playing a Sorcerer. That shit is so fucking busted. I got some crazy drops for my Chain Lightning Hydra build. I can just drop entire zones, like, instantly.
Yeah, my girlfriend was playing Sorcerer with me, and she's not a gamer at all. She doesn't play games. She really enjoyed it, and she was also just knocking over content super easily.
Yeah.
Which might be an issue. I'm not
it's
sure
gonna be,
with the game design.
It's absolutely going to be turned down like when the full game comes out, because it is just too fucking strong.
Yeah.
I died a single time throughout the entire beta, and it's because I was face tanking, because some of my items gave me some like life leech, so I could actually just face tank everything. But I got CC'd.
She didn't die at all. She legitimately didn't die at all, apart from when we went and fought
the... What are you guys saying?
Sorcerer is extremely easy. I don't know about
Sorcerer's
the other ones.
Sorcerer's really good, yeah. Rogue, I had to kind of play around with like the toolset to really dominate, but like, yeah, I think they're all tuned pretty... Or maybe it's just the world tier 2 is like easy, I'm not sure. But we faced there was a world boss during the beta. I don't know if you did that. We went and fought that with like 16 other people, which was really cool, and we didn't come close to beating it. We just constantly were dying, but it was still super fun.
I didn't see the world boss.
It happens like every 8 hours or something, apparently. I'm not sure. But yeah, super fun. Super great game. I'm actually excited for it now. I don't know how the monetization is gonna be for it after Diablo Immortal. Like, it's kind of hard to predict how greedy they're going to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about that. Didn't I have to have, like, 27 different kinds of currency to fuck you out of
money? Yeah, you could pay, like, $113,000 and still not have, like, good things or something.
God.
Ridiculous. So, yeah, you don't know how greedy they're going to be. That's the concern, and it is Blizzard, so who knows. But, yeah, I'm excited for it. Do we want to make any predictions on if Trump's going to go to prison? We don't have to get political with it or anything, but I'm interested in seeing if you guys think he's actually going to get indicted.
We're recording on Monday. He said he would get arrested on Tuesday, but Trump says a lot of things, so...
Yeah. But apparently, like, from everything I've heard, it is looking likely. Like, I've heard from other sources online that it is looking likely. I'm not sure, though. What do you guys think?
I don't know enough about it.
Do
but I'm very curious to see.
Martyr.
It would
Wouldn't
be super interesting. Yeah, I mean, it would put him back in the spotlight, right? And, like, kind of weaponize his base or whatever.
Yeah. Well, energize, not weaponize. But I think it's because of the Stormy Daniels thing, because he paid off a hooker basically through his lawyer, and then he wrote it off as, like, a campaign expense or something. Which is a no-no, but it's also such a petty thing to arrest someone over. Like, this is so obviously just a vengeance thing, but at the same time, okay, if it's funny, I'm all for it, I guess.
Well, also, you shouldn't be doing illegal things, obviously. But, like, the timing is suspicious, to say the least. I don't know. What happens, what happens if he goes to jail and he's elected while he's in prison? What happens then?
That would be crazy.
Can he pardon himself from prison?
Does the prison become the new de facto White House? Do they have to, like, work from the prison? How does that work? I'm curious.
Can a felon run for president?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Can they?
I don't know. I don't think they can vote in many states.
They can't vote. I don't think they can vote on a state level, but I don't think there's anything prohibiting them from running for president. I'm not sure, though. I don't know. But, like, I have heard that if he does go to prison, the Secret Service has to follow him into there. So that's quite a that's shitty awesome. Job.
To protect him at the prison shower.
Yeah.
Mr. President, you dropped the soap. Don't.
They have like three different Secret Service guys diving on top of it.
Get down, Mr. President.
Holy fuck.
No, not like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like that would kind of suck if you were assigned to that detail, if you had to go to prison to protect the president. I'm super interested in seeing how this plays out. It'll be interesting.
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a total nothing burger.
That's kind of probably what I'm expecting.
Most likely.
Things are rarely fun anymore.
Yeah. All right. Did you guys want
to
wrap?
I would love to wrap. I got to get going.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the official podcast. We hope you had a fun time. You can continue the fun by heading on over to patreon.com/theofficialpodcast for bonus episodes, bonus content. I uploaded a few days ago. There's a new bonus episode up for your ears to listen to. Other than that, we hope you have a very safe and pleasant week ahead of you. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.